Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. My name is Tim. I've been a member of the church for, I think, 8 years now, and I've grown a lot here. And it's a pleasure to be with you sharing this morning. And as I start, I'm wondering, where are you this morning? And you might be thinking, that's a bit of a foolish question, Tim. Obviously, I am at home. I'm where I have been, except for a short break in the middle, for about the last 6 months. Okay, fair enough. This is true. But take a moment. When I say, where are you? What's your physical location? Who are your neighbors? When you moved there, what did your house look like? What does it look like now? What's the closest cafe to you that you like to go to? What's your local shop, your local butcher? Maybe your hairdresser is local as well, although I know you can't see your hairdresser at the moment, and you might be able to tell that. And as we think about that, I want you to think about where God has put you. The Israelites were a people of place. A theologian once described them as God's people in God's place under God's rule. If you send me an email with the name of which theologian that was, first one to do that, I'll send them a prize. And in Psalm 67, we encounter them at a joyous time. We don't know who wrote this psalm, but it seems to have been written to celebrate the harvest, celebrating the blessings of the land they are in as they bring in their harvest. They're celebrating what God has blessed them with in their place. Last week, Megan helped us to understand what blessing is, that God loves to bless the world, that God holds together both deliverance and blessing, and that God's mission strategy is to bless the world. And she had a fourth part, which I will link to later. God loved to bless the Israelites. From when he first covenanted with Abraham, when he first made that agreement with Abraham, to when he renamed Jacob Israel, to when he led them out of Egypt, to when he gave them the land, he blessed them. And so one way to think about blessing is that God is giving you a gift, an enabling gift, either internal or external. And I think that enabling part is an important thing about it, because the blessing enables you to do something. And as we talk about blessing, thinking about where we are is important. The fourth part about Megan's definition was that God's blessing gives us permission and power to live lives of outrageous blessing. God blesses us in the same way he blesses the Israelites. In fact, he goes beyond, because we know Jesus is the King of Israel, the King who rescues the world, the King who saves us from our rebellion, the King who brings us into his kingdom, the King who brings good news. In the same way God blessed the Israelites where they were, he blesses us where we are, both spiritually and geographically. And I think where we are is an important part of thinking about blessing, because that connects us to the permission and power God has given us to bless others. And so while we walk through Psalm 67, I want to share a bit of Roy and Daphne's story with you about how God put them in a particular place, a place in Wales called Faldabrennan. And it's not really spelt the way it's pronounced. Faldabrennan is a Christian retreat center. Megan showed you that beautiful picture. It just looks like somewhere you'd like to be, isn't it? And about 20 years ago, Roy and Daphne felt called to work there. And they finished up, I think, last year or the year before. But they were there for about 20 years. Although they had no experience in Christian retreat ministry, it's quite a specialized type of ministry in some ways. It's about helping people in the mountaintop and leading them to live that in their life. But they had no experience in doing that. If you want to read more, Roy wrote a wonderful book called The Grace Outpouring. It's so easy to read, so encouraging. I'd offer to lend it to you, but it's on my Kindle, so you can probably get your own copy on Kindle. Megan's saying she'd lend you a copy. But they didn't want to go there. They didn't want to go where God was placing them. They so didn't want to go to Faldabrennan that on one of their visits, Daphne burst into tears. They so didn't want to go there that Roy didn't even apply. They asked him to apply. He's like, nope. But one morning, Roy had walked away from an amazing job opportunity because he felt that wasn't where God wanted him. And so he went on this walk with God, and he says he was having this great time of fellowship with God. And he said, look, God, take responsibility for my life. Open the door, you know. Let it be you who opens the next door for me. And so when he got home, there was a phone call. It was a lady from Valdebrennen, and she was one of the board members. And Roy was a bit grumpy because he'd been having a special time with God. And why should someone interrupt that time? But he's polite, so he took the call. And the lady told him that the board had invited the final applicants, the people got through the final round, to a weekend retreat to discern who would be the one that they would want to run the retreat center. Now, that sounds like a really intense final interview process. Imagine that for your next job, when you get to the end, the boss invites those of you who are in the final round on a weekend retreat. Super intense. And none of them even end up getting the job. Because what happened on that retreat, while the board members were praying, they felt God say to them, "We actually want you to call Roy Godwin." They knew who he was. They'd had some conversations with him. And we want you to call him on this day that they were ringing and on this time that they were ringing. And we want you to say to him that this is the door that God is opening for you. Isn't that an amazing story? And Roy was not happy about this. He had said to God, "Open a door for me." So, I mean, maybe the lesson there is God does answer our prayers. Absolutely, he does. But they honored God. They obeyed God. And I think that's a really important thing. They obeyed God and went to the place he called them to. And so this psalm really connects us to the fact that God is the one who blesses us. And he blesses us and those around us where we are. It starts off with, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations." And the first two verses acknowledge where blessing comes from God. All blessing, all gifts, all the good things that we have are gifts from God. You might recognize that opening line, it kind of calls back to Numbers 6:24, the Aaronic blessing. But the fact that where we are, both spiritually and geographically, relates to the fact that God blesses us, we need to remember all blessing is from God. We often look at the Old Testament and think it's a lot about the law. But the Old Testament's actually about grace. One of the best examples of this is that God rescues the Israelites before he gives them the law. God pours out his blessing on the Israelites. They're his people in his place. And the Israelites recognize this. And one of the purposes of God blessing the Israelites was to help them be a blessing to other nations. And you see them calling that out in verse 2 there. Exodus 9, 1 Kings 8, and there's other places as well, make it clear that while Israel was God's treasured possession, while they were his people, they had been chosen so that others might know God through them. And the Israelites knew the harvest was from God. As they celebrate bringing it in, they knew that that blessing was from God, and they thank him for it. And I wonder if we sometimes feel like where we are is a place where God is not working. Roy and Daphne felt like that. They felt like, "Why should we go to Valdebrennen?" And Roy, after they'd been there for a while, Roy actually told Daphne he didn't feel like this was where God was blessing them. He didn't feel like he could stay. This place didn't seem to fit his ministry talents. He'd been really active in workplace ministry and calling people who in the workplace to Christ. And so Daphne said, "Look, if you feel that way, you need to go and talk to God about it," which is wise advice for all of us. So he poured out his frustrations to God, saying, "I cannot stay here unless you, God, do something." I also think that's wise advice. That's a wise prayer when we're in a difficult place. So let me tell you what happened next. Within hours, a couple had knocked on their door. They were strangers. They had felt compelled to come up the drive to Valdebrennen. They realized it was a Christian retreat center, but didn't really know what that meant. So they had a cup of tea, and Roy and Daphne explained to them what a Christian retreat center did, how it welcomed people, encouraged them. And then they showed them around. They gave them a tour of that lovely place Megan showed us a photo of. And they finished in the chapel. And Roy said that he sensed that the couple seemed to feel something in that place. So he made up a new tradition, and he told them that their tradition at Valdebrennen was to bless any visitor to the place. And so Roy said this simple blessing to them: "I bless you in the name of Jesus to know God, his purpose for your life, and his blessings on you and your family and the situations of your life. Amen." And they started to cry, and Roy slipped away, and he left them to deal with God in that moment on their own. And they came and found him and they had a chat with him. And he was able to go deeper into what it meant to follow Jesus. And I love that story. I think it sometimes we can bless people where they might say no to praying for them. And I've had that experience a couple of times. And then each day visitors kept coming. God was answering Roy's prayer. And they're asking what Father Brennan was about. And it got to the point where Roy was annoyed because he's like, I keep interrupting my work. I have to do administration. I have to make sure the retreat center runs well. And God keeps sending these people who want to find out about him. But they realized that they were in a place that God was bringing blessing. And they realized, like the Israelites did, that that blessing came from God. And so they found it so rewarding to speak blessing on people, they thought that they wanted to extend that to their community and start to grow in that as a practice. They desired to bless as God does. And we see that in verses 3 to 5. May the peoples praise you, God. May all peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Israel wants to praise God. And as a result of their praise, they want other nations to praise God. God had placed them with others around them. You know, they had their neighbors, other countries, and people in this context, we see it there. They call them peoples and they call it nations. It's a very similar sense of the word. There was a real sense of, I guess, your national ethnic identity in that time. And the significance of the Israelites wanting all nations to come to know God is that all nations kind of had their own gods. You know, the Babylonians had Marduk. The Philistines had Baal. And we see the Romans had their own gods as well. The Romans kind of copied the Greek gods. But you kind of see nations had their own gods. And it was really this idea was if you're a Roman, you believed in the Roman gods. If you're a Jewish, you believed in the Jewish gods. If you're a Greek, you believed in the Greek gods. If you're a Babylonian, you would believe in the Babylonian gods. But the Israelites actually want other nations to come to know that their God is a true God. And they want to do that through the blessing that God is giving them, not through conquest, not through war, but they want other nations to see how God is blessing them so that they might praise God too. And in the same way, Daphne and Roy started to realize this is why they were brought to Felder Brennan. So this would be a place that praised God and sang for joy. So the neighbors in the little village nearby, the farmers nearby would praise God, would see the blessing that God was pouring out. And then they realized that God had brought them to Felder Brennan, not because of their life experience or their ability to run a spiritual retreat center, but because it was in fact so foreign to their life experience that they would have to fully rely on God, that they'd have to fully recognize that their blessings came from God. And they realized, as Roy writes, that it wasn't about knowing God more, but about getting to know God better. Not knowing more about God, but knowing God better. And that really challenged me as I wrote this. I think sometimes I try and think about, I just want to know more about God. But it really challenged me that I actually need to think about knowing God better and relying on him even when I'm in a difficult place. So Roy had this passion about God, had this passion to help people know God. But I started to think, actually my passion needs to be to know God better and let the blessings flow from that. And so as they did that, as they learned to rely on God, to realize that all their blessings came from God, those experiences with the strangers who came to their door made them think about how they could bring those blessings to those around them. So every Friday in their chapel service, they started to speak blessings on their neighborhood. And Roy sums up some of their blessings that they would pray in this way. So we bless every household. We bless every marriage. We bless the relationship between family members of different generations. And we bless their health and their wealth. We bless the work of their hands. We bless every wholesome enterprise they're involved with that they may prosper. Because we're in an agricultural community, we bless the flocks and the herds. We bless supportive networks of friendship because they're a sign of the kingdom. We bless the pupils of our rural school. And we pray for both places of worship in the valley, that the word of God and the spirit of God may flow out from both. Then we speak to the hearts of all the people who are in the community. We bless them to be safe and softened, so they may become more and more responsive to the voice of God. We bless them with the overspill of the kingdom of heaven being made manifest here in Felder Brennan. And I love that. I think, you know, this isn't some prosperity gospel. They're saying, recognizing that God wants his kingdom to be in the world. They're recognizing that God wants people to know him, experience his love, and experience the fact that in the kingdom of God, there is blessing. And they started to see God pour out that blessing. For years in Faldebrennen, the springs above the valley where they were hadn't flown because the water table had decreased. But after they started speaking blessings, the actual water table filled up again. The local area did a study and they realized that the water table had filled up again. So remarkable. People's businesses started to become more successful. Farmers in the area started having their sheep would deliver more ewes than normal. And the anonymous psalmist writes that you, God, rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. God's blessing is not just for the Israelites. God's rule is not just for the Israelites. God's blessing is not just for Christians. God's blessing is not just for Deep Creek. God rules the nations with equity. And Roy says that if we have a heart to bless, that will help us to become grace-first people, not people of judgment. It's not that we don't ask people to turn away from rebellion to God, but we want people to know that God loves them. Last week, Megan said that many people's view of God is as an angry God. And that's been my experience when I talk to people as well. But God wants to bless people so they realize that he's a God of love. So they realize that Jesus loved them. So Roy and Daphne became a community where they were blessing those around them in the wider community, where they showed them a God of love. And God keeps blessing. He kept blessing the Israelites, and he keeps blessing what happens at Faldebrennen. In verses 6 to 7, the psalmist writes, "The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." Israel was praising God because he had blessed them. In the last verse, they have this bold request. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. They want to be blessed so that all peoples will know God. They're not calling for God to make them wealthy and rich for their sake. They're not saying, God, make everything better for us. They're saying, we want to experience your blessing, God, so that others will be blessed. We want to experience your blessing so we can share that and other people will praise you. And God answers this request in a number of ways. But perhaps most spectacularly, the best answer to this request from the Israelite is that he blesses them with their King Jesus. And he blesses us with Jesus too. In Luke 4, Jesus reads a passage from Isaiah. He's been invited to read from the scroll in the synagogue. And I don't know if you've ever been to synagogue, but they're quite big, those scrolls. And they're spread out across the table. And in that time, to be asked to read it was an honor, and Jesus was recognized as a rabbi in his community, a person of significance. They say, why don't you do the reading this morning? And he reads from Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim God's blessing." And then he says, that's about me. I'm the person who's there to do. And then everyone gets offended because he claims to be God. And it's quite dramatic. But the point here is that Jesus is God's ultimate blessing for Israel, and he's God's ultimate blessing for us. Jesus is good news for the poor, freedom for prisoners, and sight for the blind. Megan told us blessing is both internal and external. And this is both an internal good news. We can say that before we know Jesus, we are prisoners, we are blind, we are oppressed. But with Jesus, we are freed from our sin. We're enabled to love God and to love others. But there's also external good news. This isn't, cannot just interpret this as an internal thing. Jesus says good news for the poor, so there has to be good news for the poor. Freedom for prisoners, so there has to be freedom for prisoners. Blind seeing, oppressed free. John Stott wrote after a big evangelical conference many years ago, he said, if we tell the hungry that God is good, why will they believe us if we don't feed them? If we tell the blind that God loves them, why would they believe us if we don't help them see? If we don't share our blessing that God gives us with others, why would they believe that God is a God of blessing? This is the good news about Jesus. This is the good news about Israel. God blessed them so others would know him. God equipped Israel to be a light to the nations by blessing those around them. Last time I spoke, I shared the story from Ruth where the Israelites knew that when they brought in the harvest as they're doing here, they had to leave enough so that those who didn't have land would have enough to eat, so that the blessing of the harvest would be shared. Each village, each city was to share God's blessing with others. And Jesus is an amazing way we've been blessed. What a blessing for us to share with others. And this was true for Roy and Daphne. They understood that God's blessing to us overflows to others. And as God blesses us, so we bless other people. One day they had a call from a young woman who wanted to come and stay. But then she said, "I don't actually have any money." And they said, "That's okay. You can come anyway." And then she said, "Well, I can't actually get there. I don't have a car. There's no public transport there." And they said, "Okay, we'll come and pick you up from where you are." So they did that. And it turned out that she was someone who was a New Age traveler. She'd wanted to spend some time at a Buddhist retreat, but I said to her, "You can't come until you spend months purifying yourself." So she became desperate and thought, "Well, if I can't go to the Buddhist, I'll try a Christian retreat center." But she was really hoping they would say no, so that's why she kept coming up with objections. "Well, I can't pay. Well, I can't get there." And they overcame those objections. They blessed her. So they decided to let her stay with them at the center in return for about an hour a day of cleaning stuff. And they didn't actually need her to do that, but they wanted her to feel like she was contributing. And I think that's really important, you know, to help people feel like that they're contributing to it, to what they're getting. And then Roy was like, "Oh, we'll put her in the smallest room." And Daphne was, no, let's put her in the best room that we have. They told her about their chapel times. They said, "But you don't have to come. You're our guest, but you're not required to attend." And she seemed a bit interested. She came. She didn't necessarily understand what was going on. So at each mealtime, Roy would give her a sheet, which had a Bible passage on it, and a short prayer asking Jesus to reveal himself to her. And he said, "We're not going to check up whether you've done this. This is just for you to have an understanding of what we're doing." And then she decided to tell them why she didn't like Christians. What a lovely response to the hospitality, isn't it? They gave her the best room, free meals, free accommodation. They picked her up. And she says, "Well, let me tell you why I don't like that sort of person." And she said she especially didn't like the claim from Christians that Jesus was the only way to God. And I always said to her, "Look, the opinion of Christians on this doesn't matter." And you might think, "Doesn't it? Doesn't that?" And Roy said, "No, it doesn't. What matters what was Jesus said. And Jesus said he was the only way to God." And she wanted to argue with him. And he said, no. "Go talk to Jesus about it." And so the next day was a day off for Roy and Daphne. And they're looking forward to it. They're going to have a sleep in. But early in the morning, it was a hammering on their door. And the young woman that they'd invited to Felderbrennen was there, demanding to know why they hadn't told her the truth. And Roy was like, he's still a bit tired. He's like, what do you mean we haven't told you the truth?" And she says, "Why didn't you tell me that God is my Father? That he made me? Why didn't you tell me that he loves me desperately? Why didn't you tell me that Jesus is really his Son? That when he died, he took my sin? Why didn't you tell me that Jesus can come and make me a new person? Why didn't you tell me this?" Roy was a bit shocked and said, "How do you know this?" And her reply was that morning Jesus had come into her heart and given her new life. She'd been doing all the readings they gave her and praying the prayer they gave her. There's more to that story, but what a lovely example. Roy and Daphne blessed the area. They shared their blessings with this young woman. And they didn't judge her. When she critiqued their faith, when she critiqued them, even though they're being hospitable, they didn't judge her. I think how much more meaningful to her was that reading about what Jesus was like, given her experience of hospitality from Roy and Daphne. When she read that Jesus loved her, she had seen that love in action through Roy and Daphne. When she saw that God desperately wanted to be a father to her, she'd experienced the kindness of Felderbrennen. They shared their blessings with her. And so when she heard that God wanted to bless her through Jesus, she could believe that. There's more to her story, but what a lovely example. The fruit of sharing what God blesses us with is people praising him. I remember when I was a kid, my dad would, I don't know if he remembers this, my dad would sometimes in the evening say, before I went to bed, the number 624 blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And that's all well and good. What if my dad had then done nothing about that? He had a position of authority in my life. He cared for me. He loved me. He listened to me. He made sure that he had regular time with me, as he did with all of his children, my brothers and sisters. He called out those blessings of God on me. But if he had been a terrible father, what would have been the point of him saying that blessing to me? It's not that God wouldn't have blessed me or found other avenues, but my dad was a good dad. And when he said that blessing, he knew that he was in a position that God had placed him in, he and my mum, to bless me. And so he did that. I think that is a great example of speaking God's blessing on people and then sharing that blessing with them as well. I'd love you to think, as you go through this week, I'll get Megan to share this in the weekly email, but to grab a piece of paper. This was actually one of the things I did at Bible college, and it's really stuck with me. And to draw your neighborhood, consider where you are. I asked you, where are you? Draw your house. It doesn't have to be scale. It doesn't have to look great. It can just be, you know, little lines on a piece of paper. If you live in an apartment building, you might write down the names of the people you know there. You might write down the names of your neighbors. Draw the places where people go. I mean, people are mostly in the houses at the moment, but people still go to the shops. People still go to the butchers. People still go to the cafes. Write the places in your neighborhood that people go. And think about how you can speak some of those blessings Roy and Daphne were speaking. We'll include those in the email as well. Think about how you can pray for those places in your neighborhood. And it goes beyond that. In Luke 4, Jesus talks about prisoners. So maybe draw a little map of Australia on that piece of paper as well. And as a member of Deep Creek, we support Prison Fellowship, which is really about helping prisoners know Jesus and think about the freedom that they can experience in that. So you can speak blessing into an Australia-wide ministry. And you can even draw a map of the world, because as a member of Deep Creek, we pray for and financially support organizations like Kivuli, like the Swans, like the Leprosy Mission. So you can speak blessing into West Papua. You can speak blessing into Kenya. You can speak blessing into India and Nigeria and all the places the Leprosy Mission works, because God has given you in this place through Deep Creek the authority to do that. And you have authority and permission and power to bless your neighborhood, to speak blessings on them and enact them. Let's pray that bold prayer at the end of the psalm as I finish. God, we are thankful for where you have placed us. And we know that at the moment it won't always be easy. But we pray that we will learn to fully rely on you where we are, even if it isn't in our comfort zone, even if the going is really hard at the moment. And I know for so many of us it is. But Lord, we call out as a church, as a people, may you bless us still, so all those around us will know you and come to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a pleasure to be with you. I hope you have a great week, and may God bless you and keep you.